What do you mean that God is not after me? God is not running after you to judge you. You know, we all feel at times like we don't measure up. And perhaps God is mad at us. Has anybody ever felt like that? Very often. I was surprised, as I said, I'm going on a tour, I'm going to have fun. And ironically, the amount of people that we hear about going through deep struggles, and some of them thinking that they didn't measure up to God and that God was after them. I was surprised. And I wonder how many times in church we feel at times like we don't measure up to God. Things start going crazy. And perhaps God is mad at us. Sometimes things go wrong. And it is very easy for us to think, why is this happening to me? Can I have a witness here? Why is God doing this to me? And unfortunately, all the things bombarding us today will help this kind of distorted think to cause us to have a view that is not true about our Heavenly Father. So let me start tonight by saying, your God is not a vengeful and judgmental God. Did you get that? Your God is not a vengeful and judgmental God. We need to stop seeing God this way. He is just. But his justice was satisfied through the shed blood of Jesus. And all that's left is his mercy and his grace. Are we together yet? Still, people have difficulty believing that God is not after them. A lot of people think that God is mad at them because of something that they did. But let me tell you today, assuming that you were right, that God would really be mad at you or after you. In the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 5, we have a powerful promise. Read it with me. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Assuming that we would be right in thinking that God is after us, which is not true, because of something that we may have done, even if that assumption would be true, his anger is but for a moment. Now the question is, how long is a moment? And this is a long moment. A blinking of an eye is a moment. This scripture speaks about the mercy of God. What do you see mercy in here? He will never be angry with us forever. Amen. So there are times that we messed up. Yes, there are. But every single time that we turn around and we confess our sin, he forgives us. And even when we fail to do that, his mercy is so big that he has not destroyed us. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. So if we would admit that God was after us, that something would be wrong with us. His anger is but for a moment. So you say, well, preacher, and how come we keep thinking like this? Because we have been bombarded by so many junk. And we have developed a wrong perception, a distorted thinking about who our Heavenly Father is. Tonight I want to help us to begin to replace this wrong thinking with the right thought, that is, God is not after me. Say amen.
Amen.
Today I want us to blast out this judgment mentality out of our heads. So what are the steps? You and I, starting tonight, are going to change our way of thinking that God is after us. And we will, number one, remember that we are righteous through the blood of Jesus. Say with me, I'm righteous through the blood of Jesus. Your righteousness, my beloved brother and sister, or your right standing with God and before God, is not based on anything that you have done or not done. Do you get that? In order to change this distorted idea, thought, that God is after us, we need to remember, number one, that we are righteous through the blood of Jesus. And that our righteousness, or the right to stand before our Father God, is not based on anything that we have done or not done. Listen to Psalms 84:11. Read it with me. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withheld from those who walk uprightly. So if things have happened that the business is not going well, or the family is a little on the fussy side, or the relationship is not up to date. I mean, there are a thousand things that could cause us to think that God is after us. No. And many people think that God is after them because they did something wrong. Do you realize how miserable life can be if everything that something doesn't go the way we thought it should go, or everything that things go in a disarray, we think that God is mad at us? It is horrible. Now, folks, we stand in the presence of God. We stand in right stand with God. Our righteousness is not based on anything that we have done or not done. Our righteousness is based on the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made in our place. Therefore, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. It is impossible for God to give anything to us that is not good. Did you get that? So, say again, okay. If things are going cuckoo, if things are going out of track, if things are going haywire, it isn't because God is after us. It is impossible for God to give us anything that is not good. no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Why? Because the Lord is good. The Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. He is a good God. He is not after you. He is with you. He is within you. So let's change that mindset that God is after us. Number one, remember, you and I are righteous through the blood of Jesus. Watch this. Brother Harry, it's not on the list. Can you put up there 2 Corinthians? Five, I think 17 on. Just came to my mind here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things has become new. God is not after you because of whatever happened last year, because whatever happened before you came to Christ, that stuff is on the sea of forgetfulness. You came to Christ, you're a new creation. The old stuff is all gone. God is not keeping record of it. We might, but he's not. Now listen to verse 18. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Your righteousness, your good standing before God is not based on anything that you and I have done or not done. Our good standing before God, our reconciliation with God took place because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Verse 19 gets better. Watch this. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Again, not my input, not your input. Not imputing their trespasses to them. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I want you to look at that. Not imputing their trespasses to them. Amen. God is not after you. God is with you and for you. Don't let the devil fool you into thinking that God is after you. Are we together so far? Amen. Last scripture, 20. Lovely. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God is not after us. If things is not going the way that we think it should go, we should not think that God is after us. God is a good God. Second way to get rid of this thought that God is us. Understand that God's judgment passes over us. Are we together so far? God's judgment passed over the children of Israel through the blood of lambs, plural, in Egypt. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, we read the following scripture. Would you care to read it with me? On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, And when I see the blood, I will pass over. Did you get that? Well, that was the Egyptians. Well, let me tell you this. Today, God's judgment passes over us, even in a more powerful way, through the blood of Jesus. Are you here with me? Folks, we should not be robbed from our blessings, from our miracle. And as I said in the beginning, at the end of the day, God is looking for a relationship with you. God wants to be loved by us. And sometimes the wrong thinking about our God can build up a wall between us and God. In nowadays, God's judgment will pass over us even more powerfully because through the blood of the Lamb, judgment is passed over us. Everything has been laid on his back at Calvary Cross. Are we together? Yes. Number three steps that you can take to change your thought that God is after you. Never doubt God is good and the author of good. I know that we have preachers that come in our church and say that God will really do some harm to people. I'd rather put it in a different way. When we decide to alienate ourselves from God, we place ourselves outside the umbrella of protection. Because at the end of the day, Colossians 1, 13 through 17 say that all things were created by Him and for Him. Whether it's principality, powers, angels, things, present, things to come, all has been created by Him and for Him. So instead of saying that God will do me harm or evil, I'd rather say that whenever I choose to place myself out of myself to evil. So I believe that there is a need for us to understand that we could never doubt that God is good and the author of good. Let's go to James 1:17. Good. Let's go to James 1:17. Would you care to read it with me? Every In other words, every good gift, God is the author of good. God is good, God is the author of good, and every good gift comes only from God. End of story. We can do the best at our job. We can excel at our job and get a good job accomplished. There may be the tense, well, I did it, I got it. Well, if I got it, it's because God gave me the power and the ability to get it done in the good way. God is the author of good. In Hebrews 13:8, we learn that God does not change. If it says that He's the author of good, it says here that Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So if in the times of James, He says that every good stuff comes from God, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to understand that God is good, and He's the author of good, and therefore, He's not keeping record of the bad deeds from the past, and then punishing us by causing our lives to be miserable and in disarray. No. No. A lot of people think this way because they have difficulty in accepting mercy and accepting love. I'm reading a book by Dr. Henry Cloud that says,
having a hard time to accept love. I found the title to be very intriguing, so I bought the book. And my. If I'm going to follow his argument, half of the country has a difficult accepting love because of our self-serving way of life. We think that we got to earn love in order to deserve love. We've got to do something to be loved, even by God. And the same thing happens to mercy. Well, let me tell you something here tonight. Mercy is bestowed upon you because God is love. End of story. There's nothing that we could do to cause God to love us more. And when God decided to show mercy to us, He made up His mind to do it. So I think that it's fundamental that we learn to embrace the mercy of God. It's just like children. There are days that you love your children, right? But there are days that you wish to take a rod or a broomstick and wham, 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 wham. Is that right? Nevertheless, once the anger or disappointment goes away, we're not going to do anything to make our children's life miserable. Is that correct? Or on their heads. But the reality, we will not do anything to cause our children to be angry. My children grew up listening to me, and they will listen to this until they die. My love for you is not based on your performance. Rather, it is based on the blood that flows through our arteries. God's love for you is not based on your performance. God's love for me is not based on my performance. God's mercy to us is not based on our performance either. It's based just on the fact that God, one of good days, He got up and said, I love this child. And God was trying to reconcile us with Him. And He decided to bestow and show mercy to each one of us. You know, you guys grew up in church. I call you church rats. I didn't. You grew up in church every all your life. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amazing grace. You know, the sing-along and the dance and whatnot. You get used to church stuff. And then sometimes our feelings become dull. Mercy is given to us because God was mad about us. Because God wanted to have a fellowship, a relationship with us. Not because we were good religious people. I wasn't a church brat. Let me change the word. Brat. I was a stinking rat that didn't know God. And if my performance would be the reason by which He would have bestowed mercy on me, He would have roasted me before I even made a move. But it was mercy that drew me into Him. It is mercy until this day that draws us unto Him like a magnet. You see that Jeremiah says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn you unto me.
In order for us to change that distorted thinking that God is after us, we need to learn to embrace His mercy. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says the following on the Living Translation. Read it with me. The faithful love of the Lord, my Lord. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Come on, tell somebody besides you, God's perfect love for you will never end. And then he goes on to say, His mercies never cease. So, why is this important? Because mercy will always triumph over judgment. Are you with me so far? Mercy will always triumph over judgment. And therefore, there is a need for you and I to embrace the mercies of God. It will never end. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So that means whatever mess we made today, overnight, the slot is wiped clean. Tomorrow morning is a brand new start. So whatever is happening that is not in line with the Word, it's not because God is after you. Are you with me here?
Yes.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, 16, the Message Bible, says it's so beautiful. Read it with me. So, let's walk right up to Him and get what He is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you better learn to embrace mercy. The book is saying, take mercy, huh? Take the mercy, accept the help. Now, let me give you one more. Not only embrace, but meditate on what mercy is. Huh? Meditate on what mercy is. There is a story on the history books, especially in France, that on the days of Napoleon, how many of you heard about Napoleon? The great guy in France. There was a weasel, a little rascal in there, that sinned against Napoleon and against France. He committed crimes against Napoleon, the emperor, and against France. So Napoleon made sure that he would be hanged out at sundown, and he himself was there present to make sure that that sentence would be carried out speedily and soon. When the mother of this young man discovered that Napoleon would be there by the sentencing, before they hang her child, she asked to approach Napoleon to ask for mercy for her son and to ask him to let him go free. Napoleon asked this woman, "Do you know what he has done, madam? He doesn't deserve mercy." That poor lady looked at Napoleon, and she said, "If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy." You got that? The next time you think, why is this happening to me? Expect God to turn whatever you're going through into something good, rather than thinking that God is after you.
Are you with me so far? Whenever you're battled by the thought that God is after you, even if you think you may have done something that may get God upset, you should always think and say, I deserve judgment, but God gives me mercy. Say with me, I deserve judgment, but God gives me mercy. When things don't go right, you should say, I will not believe it's God's judgment. Are you with me here? When things don't go right, repeat after me, I will not believe it's God's judgment. Because of the distorted way and image we have about God, many people are led to believe when things don't go right that they have lost the favor of God. But if things are not going the way you think it should go, you should not believe that you have lost God's favor. You should instead say, His favor surrounds me like a shield. Say with me, His favor surrounds me like a shield. You may say, is this biblical? Brother Harry, show them Psalms 5:12. Read it with me. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, will surround him. Come on, rub somebody and say, you are surrounded with favor. Are you with me here? If things doesn't go necessarily as you thought it should go, you have not lost favor. You are actually surrounded with favor as with a shield. When we go again to Psalms 84:11, it's the repetition. We read it in the beginning. For the Lord, For the Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he. As his judgment passed over the children of Israel, therefore his judgment will pass over you. When you look around and things are not necessarily going the way you thought it should go this year, you should always say, I expect good to happen to me. Every day something good is going to happen. Listen to Psalm 103:5. Read it with me. Who satisfies your mouth so that Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Who satisfies your mouth with good things. You want to see something? Brother Harry, can you give me the backslider translation here? He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. Say amen.
Amen.
Another thing we should remember. When I embrace his mercy will follow me all the days of my life. No matter what happens in my life, I expect God to turn it into something good. Listen to Psalms 119, 156, real quick. Psalms 119. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. No matter what's going on, God's going to turn things, bad things into good things. Psalms 145:9 tells us the following. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord is good to you. Expect good stuff to happen to you. No matter how bad things may be around, God can turn everything into good because he's good to all.
Yes.
Amen. When you go real quick in Jeremiah 42:12, it's a little shady, but still good to hear. And I will show you
mercy,
that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. God wants to show you mercy. God wants to show you mercy. And God wants to show you mercy. And let me wrap up with Lamentations again, 3:22 and then 3:32. Read it with me. Through the Lord's mercies, because his compassions fail not. God is not after you. God is with you. God is for you. God is within you. Last verse, Lamentations 3:32. Though he causes grief, well, let me have the backslider translation to see if you guys can get it, because it seems like everybody's halfway asleep and I'm going to stop. I got the message. I'm becoming boring, so I'm going to wrap up. If he works severely,
he also works steadily.
His stockpiles of loyal love are immense. God is not after you. You got that? God is not after you. He is with you. He is within you. He is for you. He is around you as a shield. Never after you. God bless you.